open eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We were still giving you those duties executed by the apostle. I think I put them up on the line. I think I did pretty good with it. So what we're going to do, we're going to read over the next five. I've given you 10 so far, so we're going to start over the next five. Number 11, where it says that, everybody who's smart probably have printed them out and put them in their notebooks and that type. yes, indeed. So the number 11 says is to initiate. The apostles initiate new moves of God. The apostolic anointing is an activating anointing. Apostles are catalysts. This gift helps release the other gifts in the church. This is the way God set it up, and this is the way it should be operating. We know in the Western culture, that's not the way it's operating, but that's the way God wanted to operate. That's why we begin to see those signs and wonders. That's why they did all those signs and wonders in the book of Acts. Number 12 says, to bridge. Apostles are raised up during seasons of transition to provide bridges necessary for the church to transition from the old to the new. As we are doing here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, we are transitioning from the old to the new. We're going, paradigm shift is changing. We're going from where the pastoral was in charge to where the apostolic anointing and the prophetic anointings is in operation. So we got an apostle. We have an apostle who's in his place. And because he's in his place, then he's going to help bridge this gap that has been taking place. Pioneers, they're to pioneer. Apostles are pioneers. They keep the church moving into new territories, both naturally and spiritually, both naturally and spiritually. And number 15, which I have as number 15, this is the next one, is to legislate. As an officer of the church, apostles legislate. They issue orders and kingdom decrees for the church. And if you want to see a reference to that, you can go to Acts chapter 15 and read through Acts chapter 15. Amen. All right, let's go back to our lesson from last week. We was on lesson chapter 2 of the book. And even though I give you notes, it's incumbent on each of you to sort of read through. We've been trying to go through chapter 2 of the book, where it talks about the falling from heaven. The author gives some good examples of what's happening. He showed the example of an accident scene where the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher all came on the scene, and he gave a illustration of what would happen when each of those come up on the scene. So it would behoove each of you to read through, at least read through that part of it anyway. If you haven't read the chapter 2, read through that part of it and see how he explains about each one of the fivefold ministry gifts and what their roles and duties are. But we're going to cover each one. I'm going to give you scripture references of each one of these fivefold ministry gifts. As you know, these are the fivefold ministry gifts that we talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. And the reason the church have not quite understood these gifts, because they have not been taught how these gifts operate. And so my first statement tonight is that the church culture is founded up on the apostolic and prophetic anointing, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If we can remember that, then we can move on forward. It should be built up on the apostolic and prophetic anointings, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If you turn the scripture reference on that one is Ephesians 2:19-20, where it says, you are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, and is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's the word of God. That's what God said. And that's how it should be done. And as our apostle been ministering to us, the book of Ephesians from chapter 1 through chapter 6 has already taken place. So these are things that should be taking place in the body of Christ. We must be able to contain what God is pouring out and be able to release it to the world around us. So, and the only way we're going to be able to do that is that we have to have an apostle in his place, finding out what heaven needs here, wants here on earth, and then bringing what heaven wants here on earth to the earth. We must maintain this culture that is appropriate for the mission, with an expression of each of the other fivefold ministry graces described in Ephesians 4 and 11. The pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and the prophets and the apostles. So we must take these gifts. What normally happens is as the apostle begin to minister and he training individuals, he'll look out among the congregation that he have. And he can see those graces in individuals, and he himself can send individuals out to various places that he wants them to go, various churches or whatever. But that's where it should be. That's where it should be set up, and that's where it should be done. And what's happening now, everybody is already in position, so we won't change positions that people are in. But if the church is established properly, then the apostles look out amongst them, find individuals as they did in the book of Acts, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and begin to send them out to do duties. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to sort of break down the individual gifts. We're going to go to, because of each of these diverse anointings addresses an essential part of the identity and purpose of the church through their specific areas of focus and motivation. Through their specific areas of focus and motivation. Each one of the gifts are focused very on different. God has put those graces in them, and they are focused on different areas of the body. If you think about the apostle and the prophets and apostles are concerned mostly about seeing what heaven wants and bringing that to earth. The pastors concerned about shepherding the sheep. The evangelist is concerned about bringing individuals into the kingdom, and where this teacher want to teach the doctrine and of the scriptures. They want to make sure that everybody understand what is happening in the scriptures. So with that said and done, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I tell you what, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We read over that again. The word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So it says here, it says that in our Ephesians chapter 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might feel all things. So from eternity to eternity, he filled everything, Jesus himself. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these fivefold ministry gifts are to be making sure that the body of Christ is mature. They are perfecting the saints, making sure they know how to operate in the kingdom. And not only that they operate in the kingdom, that they also can work in the ministry, for the working of the ministry. So when you're being perfected, you also know how to work in the ministry. You know what the ministry calls for, and for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so each one of those gifts, those fivefold ministry gifts, they are there for that specific purpose, for the perfecting of the saints. One part may do something, and another part may do something else. And when it say for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ, basically what the evangelist does is bring individuals, let them know about the kingdom, and bring individuals into the body of Christ. The priority of the offices, we'll go and read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I like the way the Apostle Paul, when he began to teach the church and the body of Christ, he always bring you into it, first of all, like he did in Ephesians 4, like he did in Ephesians 2:19-20. And then he lets you know that you are a part. You're not outside of this kingdom. You're in the kingdom. And so every time he began to teach the church, he brings the church into this area. Like here in Ephesians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, it says that now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. So he's beginning to bring you into it, let you know what is your part. While we're here, let me read a couple. Go back to verse 1 in chapter 12. Here in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul began to minister. This is the apostle, so he's teaching there. He says, now concerning spiritual gift, brethren, he said, I will not have you ignorant. Skip down to verse 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. It didn't say man set them in there. It said God himself set the members in the body as it pleased him, has pleased himself. He goes through, he was beginning to talk about the spiritual gifts. He began to talk about the nine manifold gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues and the word of knowledge. He talks about that. Then he goes in, he talks about the natural body. He tried to compare it to the natural body. And so the body of Christ is in comparison to the natural body. If you look at the natural body, it says God has set every member in the body as he has seen fit. He began to talk about the eye, the ear. He talked about, he said, if all with the eye, he said, where would the hearing be? If all with the ear, where would the hearing be? He said, everybody do not have, every part of the body does not have the same functions. And so, if you think about yourself, your body, if you had taken your eyes and put it somewhere else, then you know, if you'd put it in the back, then you couldn't see if you're walking, unless you was walking backwards. And so he said, God himself designed this body this way, and same way he did the body of Christ. He designed the body of Christ as he saw fit. And so when he did it perfectly. Every part of my body is designed perfectly. The word of God said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So that, body can reheal itself. It can recreate itself. It multiply cells on its own. And so God himself designed this. So in verse 18, it says, but now hath God set the body members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. He's talking about a natural body, and he's talking about the spiritual body. Now, verse 27, we go, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. He said, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongue. And just like, you know, the whole body is not the eye, the whole body is not the ear. He said, are all apostles? And the question should always be no. Everybody in the body of Christ are not apostles. He said, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? So he's letting you know that every member, God has set them in the body as he sees fit, and they are designed for a specific purpose, and they operate according to the way God, those graces God has put in them. Here Paul clearly lays out an order of priority in this passage. And so what he's saying is that he said some in the church, he said first apostles. The church apostles should always be at the head of the church. That's what happened in the book of Acts. God, Jesus Christ himself called those apostles, and he said, I set apostles out. And then when those apostles are in that place, that's called God's government. And so when the government is in place, then everything that the body of Christ should operate should be operating under that government. If the government is out of place, then there's chaos and disorder. And so nothing is really happening in the body of Christ. And in this order is related to the realms of the supernatural that correspond to each of the particular offices. And so this is not a natural kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. And not only it is a spiritual kingdom, it is a supernatural kingdom. We have to understand it's a supernatural kingdom. So we should always, again, the kingdom of God should be operating like Jesus did when he was on earth. And when we walk up on situations, we should be able to change those situations. The anointings on the apostles and the prophets create a perspective that is primarily focused on what and perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. I'm going to read that again so we can understand. The anointings on the apostle and prophet creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. Remember the scripture in Matthew 10:41, where he said, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. There's that scripture over in 2 Chronicles 20:20, where it says King Jehoshaphat was explaining to the people that believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So what I'm saying the prophets and the apostles are hearing what's going on in heaven. And when they speak, you should be just like God himself speaking to you. If you begin to receive him that way, then whatever comes out of that apostle's mouth, whatever comes out of that prophet's mouth, you take it as your own. That's your word. If you've been seeking God by something and a prophet give you a word, then it's just like God himself speaking that word to you. So you can say, I remember what God said over in Isaiah 53:4, he said, my word shall not return to me void, but it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And so if you accept that way, and then guess what's going to happen? Whatever you're seeking God for is going to manifest in your life. The teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happens accurately, and the evangelists and the pastors are focused on the people. And so basically they are concerned about the people that's in the kingdom of God. The apostles and the prophets is concerned about what's going on in heaven and bring that to earth. Each of these areas of focus is vitally important. But in order for them to function together as God intended, they must relate to one another according to his order of priority. They must work according to God's order of priority. And we read that order in 1 Corinthians 12, the apostles first. And like I said, we can know. That's why I said we have to change our thinking, change our paradigm, forget what we knew about the body of Christ before, and begin to lay on this new wine. We're putting new wine in new wineskins, and so that wineskin that we had before won't burst open. This is what God is doing here on the earth now. He's changing the paradigm. He's changing. If you've been in any church at any length of time, you know that's not the way the church is operating. And the church is not operating the way God, the government God set up. And since it's not, then again, we're not seeing those supernatural acts that we saw in the book of Acts. But in order for them to function together, as God intended, they must relate to each other according to his order of priority. The areas of heavenly focus come first and influence the area of earthly focus. So the three graces that has earthly focus are the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. The two graces that has the heavenly focus is the apostle and the prophet. When Paul, the apostle Paul, makes apostles first, prophets second, and the teachers third, he is describing a flow. He's describing a flow of God's anointing, a flow of God's power. And it's like during the time when Aaron, they poured oil on Aaron's head, it pours down through from the top of his head and flows downward. And so the anointing always flows downward. So again, the apostles at the top, the prophets, teachers thoroughly, and right on down to the evangelists and the pastors. The flow screams through the teachers, releasing miracles and healings, and continues through helps and administrations and tongues. One of the things that we we are operating properly as an apostolic church, as an apostolic government, whatever that a government does or whatever the apostle does, then each person that connects to that apostolic anointing can do the exact same thing that the apostles does. God showed us in the book. Let's turn over and look at some why we should continue the way God set it up from the beginning. Turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and actually these are from the apostles that Jesus himself had appointed. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Why? They was operating in the government where God set it up from the beginning. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. Looking at verse 11 and verse 12. It says in verse 11, it says, "And great fear came up on all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles was many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." So again, as long as they was operating in the apostles' doctrine, you could begin to see those signs and wonders, just like Jesus did when he was here on the earth. And that's why he could tell us, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father." And remember, he had told them to, you know, stay there in Jerusalem. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." And once he received that, what she promised him, he said, "You're going to have power to be a witness unto him." So when they began to do those signs and wonders, that was a witness to what Jesus had did, why he was here on the earth, those signs and wonders. Let me show you an example of an individual that's connected. When you connect properly to the apostolic government that God has set up, then the same thing that's on that apostle's life, whatever's on his life, should come off on your life, and you should be operating the exact same way that apostle. That's again, Matthew 10 and 41 says that if you receive an apostle in the name of an apostle, you shall receive a apostle's reward. That's a principle God set up. We put a prophet there, but you can put any one of the graces that you want in that place. You can put apostle, you can put teacher, you can put evangelist, prophet, whatever you put in that place. If you receive him and that, then you receive that reward of that individual. If you connect properly to that anointing. Here in Acts chapter 6, and I just want to show you once an individual connected to what God was saying, and according to the way God set up, he said, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration, in their everyday life, in the serving of in what they wanted for their daily needs. He said, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So the 12 was the apostles. He said he called the multitude of the disciples, which was the ones who was learning about Jesus. And so he called those the multitude, the whole individual, all of them together, and he brought them in. And so he said in verse 3, he said, wherefore, brethren, he said, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may point over this business. What he was saying, he said, point over this business of serving tables, serving the widows, serving the Grecians. And so I call them the table waiters. And so he called out, he said, they had to be the same way. They had to be full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. That's the church. That's where the church should be, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. He said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may point over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what the apostle said. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to seek heaven, find out what heaven wants here on earth. And we're going to continue to minister the word of God to these disciples. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, verse 5, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of the Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests was obedient to the faith. So the apostles didn't have to stop praying and seeking God and ministering other words. So because they did continue to do, they didn't have to do the menial work, such as mopping floors, cleaning windows, cleaning bathrooms, waiting on tables, doing all the unnecessary stuff, but they wanted to continually seek God and ministry of the word. And he said, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Watch how it flows down. They connected to that anointing. And when they are connected to that anointing, the same anointing that was on those apostles came off on those table waiters. You say, well, I don't want to teach new members. I don't want to be an altar worker. I don't want to be a security worker. But if you do what God told you to do, you don't have to be in the pulpit ministering. What you have, all you have to do is connect to that anointing. It's all about God, what God wants in the earth. And he called a vision in the earth realm. He sets that vision in the earth realm, and then he calls the individuals in to come in and connect to that vision. And whatever is on that visionary's life should, if you're full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, that same anointing that's on that visionary's life will come off on your life. You got to connect properly. If you don't connect properly, then you're still out there. Jesus made a perfect example. He says he was the vine, you the branches. And he said, if you're not connected to the vine, the branch is not connected to the vine, then you're worth nothing but to be burned or destroyed by me. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what in the gospels, that's what he said. So if you disconnect, then you're out there by yourself and nothing you can do. So he showed us this flow. Jesus showed us this flow, how it should be operating. And so that's what happened here to Stephen. We know what happened to Stephen. He got stoned, and then in the end, when he got stoned, he looked up in heaven and he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they say Jesus stood up and on the throne. You know, he should be sitting, but he stood up on the throne. Let's turn to chapter 8, and we're gonna see another one of these table waiters who God called, who the apostles called, who they laid their hands on and allowed them to wait on tables. In Acts chapter 8, looking at verse 5, it says, "Then Philip," that was another one of those full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, "then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." He wasn't called to be an apostle, but he was acting just like the apostles act. That anointing that was on the apostles' life, those signs and those wonders began to come off on him. When he began to teach the word, the exact same thing was on that apostles. Those apostles came off on Philip, and he began to do the same thing. It's saying the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. It said many that was taken with palsy and that was lame was healed. So they was not called to be an apostle. They was not apostles, but that same anointing that was on that apostle's life came off on these individuals that connected to the apostles and began to serve those tables, began to do what God called them to do, and then they could do the exact same thing. And so, again, you can go back. Turn to John, again, 13. And that's why Jesus could make this statement in John 14, looking at verse 12. John 14 and 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." And so he's letting us know, if it were not possible for us to do these works, then he would not have told us. Make that our meditation scripture for this class, John 14, 12. He brought it up, so I just wanted to show it to you. "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on." So we are in right in there. We believe on him, because in order for us to come into the kingdom, we had to believe on Jesus. We had to believe that he was Lord. We had to believe God raised him from the dead. So we are our believers already. And so we already believe that. So then he said, once he said it, the words have come out of his mouth. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works." And so we know the works that Jesus did when he was here. 1 John 3 and 8 say he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we, with those works that he was doing, we should also be destroying the works of the devil. You notice how he said that devils was cast out of many that fell in Acts, where it says, go back over there in Acts chapter 8. He said, "For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and many was lame were healed." And so now what happens? They connected properly. They weren't concerned about whether they was going to be a pastor, or whether they was going to be an evangelist, or whether there's going to be a prophet, a teacher, or an apostle. The only thing they was concerned about, as the apostles looked out among them and sent them forth to serve tables, then they connected properly to that anointing that was on those apostles' life. And when they connected properly, then that they was operating in apostolic government. And because they was operating in apostolic government, whatever was on their lives, they could do the exact same thing. Because Jesus laid the principle down over in John when he prophesied to those apostles. And he told them, this is what's going to happen when I go and sit on the side of my Father. And watch what happens here. Here it is in, go to Acts 28 and 29. In Acts 8 and 29, it's the same Philip. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, he said, go now and join thyself. I tell you what, let's go back up a little bit further. Let's start at verse 26, 25. And it said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. This is same Philip who was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. He said, and he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopian and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, were returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Remember Romans 8:14, what scripture in Romans 8:14 says, that says that as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in anything that we do in the kingdom, we have to be led of the Spirit, just as Jesus was led of the Spirit. He said in Luke chapter 4, it said he was led of the Spirit to be taken out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so anytime, anything that we do in the kingdom, we should always be led of the Spirit, not led of ourselves, but be led by the Spirit of God. And when he tells us to do something, then he says, as many as are led by his Spirit, then we are the sons of God. And then when we are the sons of God, we act just like Jesus did when he was on. We are coming to that fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. And we can begin to do the things that he did while he was here on the earth. He said, and then the Spirit said unto him, verse 29, unto Philip, he said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He said he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliations, his judgment was taken from him, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so he was reading in Isaiah, where Isaiah the prophet was prophesying about what was going to happen to Jesus. And so he said, unless someone come and explain this to me, unless a preacher preach it, a teacher teaches to me with an anointing, he said, I won't be able to understand what is happening to in when I read this scripture. So it had to have someone to come and explain it to him. I always say that Philip was down in the city in Samaria, and he was having an evangelistic meeting down in Samaria. But when the Spirit told him to move, it didn't care how many people and how good that he was doing at that time. He was bringing people in, he was healing people. But the Spirit at that time told him, go near, go to a place. I need you to go here and talk to this one man. You may have, 3,000 people here that you're ministering to, but this is what I want you to do. And I mean, he could have disobeyed what the Spirit told him and got out of the will of God just because of his obedience. He could have told the Spirit, look, don't you see all these people I'm getting saved here? Don't you see all these people I'm getting healed here? But he did not do that. He followed what the Spirit of God told him to do. And when he told him to do, he got up from that evangelistic meeting. He went down to this one man on the chariot so he could explain to him what was happening in this scripture. The place in the scripture, verse 32, which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken from him, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaking the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And so he began to preach Jesus. The word of God said, if I be lifted up, then I should draw all men unto him. So he began to tell them about Jesus. And as they went on their way, they were came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What do hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he made that confession with his mouth. What the word of God says, he said, what we do? We believe that Jesus is Lord. Believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, and we shall be saved. So he was already saved, but he had to do that outward appearance by being baptized in water. And so it says that, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And so when I was reading this, and I'm an old Star Trek buff. I watch Star Trek all the time. So when I saw that, he said, in the Spirit, beam, you know, I thought, think about when they were telling him, he said, beam me up, Scotty, you know. So, and he, you know, so that you know, they take things from the Scripture and they bring them into the world system. It's not the word God, but God said, I've been beaming up people for a long time. So this is nothing new for me. And so he was translated from where he was, and he was translated to some other place. And it said, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And so what he did, he went back to Ethiopia, and he brought Jesus back to that continent. And, you know, by Philip being obedient to what God called him to do, you know, like I said, you begin to see scripture. I could see a whole continent being born again, accepting Jesus Christ, because one man did exactly what the Spirit of God told him to do, and the anointing that was on his life. And he taught the eunuch. And so he went back and he taught that continent, Ethiopia, about Jesus. And then, you know, the whole continent got saved because of one man's obedience. Amen. And but Philip was found as Azazel, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And so, again, when that anointing, when you operate, when you connect properly to the anointing that God has put, that apostolic government that God has set you under, that's a perfect example. Two examples that same anointing that's on their life will come off on your life. But again, we have to have faith. We have to believe the word of God. We have to see it the way God set it up. This is his government. This is the way the government he set it up. And so since he set it up and we operate accordingly, why it is that we are not seeing all these supernatural manifestations in the body of Christ like we saw in the book of Acts? They say where they went, everywhere they went, people got healed. They got there were signs and wonders that took place because the government has not been set right. So, and God again is resetting up his government, and we can begin to see those supernatural manifestations here in the earth realm. Not just in spotted place, but we're going to see them. They're going to become as natural as breathing. You don't think to breathe, so we're going to see the supernatural manifesting just like we don't think when we breathe. We just breathe in and out. And when we walk up on any manifestation that's not part of the kingdom, we're going to eliminate. That's what God wants. That's why he said, that's why he told the disciples. He told them to pray, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That was the whole purpose for him saying that. He wanted, you know, all the individuals, every person who came into the kingdom to pray that word, because he wants to see the kingdom manifest in earth. He wants to see heaven. the same way, the same things that happen in heaven, they operate here on earth. Amen? Amen. It says the American church, he said, let me give you the next statement. He said, but sorry today, rather than having the apostles and the prophets at the foundation of the church culture, the Western church has largely placed the teachers, pastors, our evangelists at the helm. And so we can see that. We can, you know, if we watch major ministries, most of the ones that's, that we see on the in the ministry, they're either a pastor, or they are a teacher, or they are an evangelist. And so at the helm of the church, we're seeing, I mean, people, we're getting mercy from God, we're getting grace from God, but the way God set it up, it should be natural. The supernatural should be natural to us who are in the kingdom of God. And so this should be an everyday occurrence, these supernatural manifestation. And so what we are doing basically is defrauding the church of its supernatural ability by letting the teacher state clearly and accurate the truths of the Bible in a theological and sound message in an effort to build security into the lives of the believer. There's nothing wrong with that. But the way God's government is set up, that when he teach them, then they can see the supernatural manifest themselves. Secondly, by letting the pastor create a church that has strong family values and systems in place to nourish strong character and relationships. So even though we have those strong characters and those strong relationships, many of the churches in the Western culture are basically seeker-sensitive churches. They water down the word so they can bring in many people. I mean, we all going to heaven, but God said, I want to see the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. And since I want to see that happen here on the earth, then my government has to be set up correctly in the earth when people see, they can see heaven here on earth. That's one of the things that Jesus, when he walked the earth those 40 days, he talked to his disciples. He taught his disciples. He was teaching them about the kingdom of heaven and how it should operate and what they could do if they continue to operate in that kingdom. An evangelist, which emphasized church growth and to train church members to share their faith and lead others to Christ. And so all these, again, earthly focus models of leadership and not kingdom, heaven to earth models of leadership. Without the flow of the grace from the apostles and the prophets, who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. And if the church at large continues in this way, it will leave us to focus on what we know God has done in the past and miss out on what God is doing right now. And so God, you know, God is moving. God is, you know, he's constantly moving. And so what we do, we go back and we hit, I teach a historical doctrine. We teach a historical church. We saw what Abraham did. We saw what the three Hebrew boys did. We saw what Noah did. But that's a historical gospel. What we need to be is in the now and what God is doing right now. And again, we should be able to see the supernatural being taken place. We should be able to see signs and wonders taking place. We should be able to see miracles taking place. We had a manifestation of a miracle last week in World Life Christian Center. And as a man, you know, based on man's evidence, the individual should have been dead because he had five attacks. And man said, there's nothing else that we can do. Absolutely nothing that we can do. And so, the individuals began to pray. They connected to the ministry properly. And man of God said, I need you. And so then we saw a miracle take place. He came back and he's up and walking. He's sending out messages that he's praying his hour and his reading his scriptures along with the apostles. And so when these things take place, and we begin to see the manifestation and the supernatural in operation. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory, Father. And we just thank you that we are no longer just hearers of what you're telling us to do, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Next week is exam week. What I normally do is put up a syllabus on the internet. You go find the syllabus. I normally do just the quizzes that I've given to the online student. If you get print the quizzes out, normally you can make 100 on the exam. My thing is, I do need you to read that little analogy on those fivefold ministry gifts in your booklet. But like I say, normally my quizzes, my exam come from the quizzes. And so if you do the quizzes, print them out. The answers are already there. So you can take the answer. I don't change them that much. I don't change the answers on them. So you can, that way we know that you're at least going back over the information and studying the information. I just want you to get the information. It ain't so much about having you, testing how much you know, but just make you sure you're getting the information. Also, the next class is canceled, so you're free to go. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. You're free to go?